Welcome to On the Up and Up. I'm your host, Kira LaForgia, and every week I'm bringing you behind the scenes of running a successful business. Join me while we laugh, learn, and connect on mostly HR inappropriate topics with successful founders, diverse leaders, and kick-ass employees. It's true, your HR lady may have fired your bestie or made you sign a love contract, but we also have all the hot gossip that will make you better at your job. Whether you're on your way up the corporate ladder, are a fellow HR villain, or are building a culture as a rising entrepreneur.
This episode is based on a question that we got from one of our members in our membership Set to Scale. So if you've been listening for a long time, this podcast is sponsored by Paradigm Consulting, which is my HR consulting company. We have two ways that we generally serve creative small business owners and just generally people building and optimizing their team operations. So one way is through our signature service, the Paradigm Solution, and the other is through Set to Scale, which is a little bit more budget-friendly DIY version. Now, while we talk through this topic, I just want to basically just throw it out there that we're going to be making a couple of assumptions in order for you to fully understand the advice that I'm about to give. So in our Set to Scale membership, we got a question from Haley that said, what is the best module to watch if I'm looking for guidance on how to tell my team that I will be switching their roles from 1099 to W-2? So this is a really great question and actually one that comes up a lot. But in truth, we didn't actually have a module in Set to Scale. So out of the over 100 pieces of content that is in our static Set to Scale membership and coursework, which is essentially just a library of quick 5-minute tutorials about different things that come up throughout, you know, managing a team, running a small business, HR compliance, things like that, leadership. We have all these different assets that you can lean into. And so I decided to answer the question on the podcast so that we could A, include this in our materials that we share with our Set to Scale community, serve the members of the community about a topic that is timely and something they need help with right away. And also just to make sure that we're putting this out there publicly because so many business owners are sharing these same fears and concerns as there has been some pretty major developmental milestones in regards to the legislation that has to do with employees and contractors. So before I kick off, I just want to say switching from employees to contractors or contractors to employees doesn't have to have any type of emotional attachment, but it often does. So I want to kind of just point out that this could evoke feelings of fear, anxiety, stress. It could bring back trauma that you have as an employee. It could even cause some issues for your team, especially those that have had some bad experiences in the past from bosses and things like that in the employment world. So in the consideration of being really sensitive to this topic, I want to just outline the assumptions that we're making before I dive into how to have these conversations. So in this particular incident, and this isn't, you know, an incident of this particular Set to Scale member. It's actually just something that's a little bit more general to give us something to kind of grab onto and talk about for this episode. But those assumptions are that you have understood that you are out of compliance and you've evaluated the associated risks. So later on in this podcast, throughout the month, we're going to be talking about the different nuances that come with employee contractor classification. But when we're starting this episode, we're actually just going to assume that you've already established and understand the risk and you have decided to make the move from contractors to employees within the scope of the team that you already have. So the second thing is that we're going to assume that you have a desire to retain the same talent, so the same people, within the same scope of their work. So it truly is almost just a classification change in name alone and not so much, you know, in how they're behaving and things like that. Probably because you have been treating them unknowingly as employees, but they haven't been classified correctly. So it isn't something to bring shame towards. Sometimes our relationships with our contractors develop over time and it's time to change their roles, things like that. So within those two assumptions that you've already established that you would need to move them over because you are out of compliance, and the second is that you want to keep things as close as possible to what you're dealing with currently. You have a desire to retain the same talent within the same scope of work, so their tasks are pretty much the same. Now, the reason I want to establish those assumptions is that in many cases when we work with our clients, there turns out to be instances and situations where the scope of work changes, the relationship changes, the desire of the company to grow will evolve and change with this classification change. Their job descriptions are a little more fleshed out. There's KPIs that they're responsible for and hitting. There's a little bit more control within the guidelines of how work is getting done, things like that. So in this particular case, let's just not take any of those nuance into consideration and talk about that in another episode. But just know that we're trying to learn how to have a conversation with our contractor in a productive way that's going to maybe not ruffle as many feathers as we would should we be looking at a full reorganization of the business, or even just taking a more solid look at our overall growth plan and how these talents contribute to that overall goal. So a lot of this is going to feel like maintenance. So the client that would be listening to this and would be needing to have these conversations, or the business owner that would be listening to this and having these conversations, are really focused on maintenance, whether that be in cost or, you know, whatever the structure of the business, or maybe they've already been misclassified and now it's time to move them over because they're already, their job position's already optimized, et cetera, so on and so forth. That's not always the case when it comes to our clients, but in this case, we're just assuming that it is. So let's just go with that first. Second is, after we've made those assumptions, we understand what we're trying to do. We understand that we're in a place of maintenance and we don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to like kick up some dust. We don't really want to change any of our processes. We've already, you know, kind of established what's best for our company and it's optimized in the best possible way. So when we're having this conversation with our almost employee, we have to remember that this is not going to be something that's going to feel as cut and dry for many people. Some people are going to be like, yeah, whatever, it's fine, just change it then. Like, they're not going to care. And they're going to be like, yeah, I mean, I work for you. Sometimes when we hear people say, like, I have a full-time contractor, those are the cases when they're like, okay, great, change my status. Like, whatever you have to do, you know? Some are going to be a little bit more like, wait a second, no, like, I want to retain my control. I want to retain my own business. I want to work for other clients. I don't want to have any of my rights limited. Da, 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 da. So there may be a little bit of a discussion there. It's not your job to convince them what's best for them. What is going to be your job is to establish a set of understandings that both of you guys can build upon as you're figuring out what works best for your company, as well as a really solid understanding that in this particular relationship that you have now with your contractor, you are their client. So while you may be able to walk through these steps and explain the reasoning behind it and hopefully find a common ground, the reality of the situation is that you're still the client to that contractor until their classification is changed. So how you approach this topic is going to be really important in the way that you are making sure that you are managing your risk through this conversation. A lot of times our clients that need to make this change, and probably the client that, or set to scale member that posed this question in the first place, were not really in a position to maybe become a legal expert or anything like that. They just know that they want to mitigate their risk with the least possible disruption to their business as usual. So making sure that you're understanding that while you're helping yourself educate, you know, what's coming next for your client, for your contractors, and hearing their feelings about things and whatever, you're also going to be changing that relationship from here's my proposal of how we change in order to mitigate risk for my company to now I'm your boss, I'm your manager, and I'm your leader, and I'm taking on that responsibility. So no matter which way you twist it, there's still going to be a little bit of a change, because it's very likely that if you have been treating your people like on a control basis, like employees, but they're classified as contractors, you probably haven't fully stepped into your leadership role yet. And now that they're going to be employees, you'll kind of be pushed a little bit into doing that, which is really exciting, but also can be a little bit intimidating for you.
So just keeping in mind that as you're approaching this discussion, you want to make sure that you're very clear and straightforward on the relationship that you currently have versus how that relationship will change when you move forward. So we'll get to that in the third reasoning or the third piece of context that we want to provide our team members while we're telling them that they need to move over. So first and foremost is make sure that you're establishing the understanding of the law that establishes this requirement. So making sure that you're in understanding of why you need to move them over to at least the extent that you know that the risk needs to be mitigated so that you can pass this information along to them. Now, remember, we already made the assumption that you understand that you're out of compliance and you've evaluated the risks and you've decided that this is the way to move forward in order to mitigate risks within your company. So that being said, being able to kind of take the things that really made you see that you needed to make this change and explaining those very specifically to the contractor. And the reason that we want to do that is because there is a lot of misinformation out there, but at the end of the day, this is what you've decided for your company. So if the risk is better, if they're classified as an employee, then sticking with that and making sure that that's really clear and straightforward based on the way that you understand the law or what you've been advised by a professional. So now there's going to be three different places where you could, quote unquote, justify this change. There's three different areas that business owners have to be aware of in which to make sure that you're constantly following the compliance. The first is the IRS compliance, which has always been the same thing. There's a three-prong test. It's, you know, all listed out on the IRS website. We've talked about that at length. That's still in existence. This law did not change the IRS's the justifications or the way that the IRS spells things out. The second is that each individual state has their own laws in how workers are treated. So there is usually a Department of Labor or an Employment Development Department or something like that within each state. They're not even called the same thing in every state. So just keep in mind that that is why we have a job, because there are many different areas that we have to navigate in HR, not just legal, not just accounting, not just culture, not just, you know, personalities, not just people, not just, you know, workers' rights or employer rights. There's a lot of different pieces put together. So the first is IRS. The second is the individual state law in which the employee lives. So make sure that you are, and I'm going to kind of use that term interchangeably, but essentially wherever the contractor or the individual lives is the state law that you need to be aware of. Finally, the Federal Department of Labor guidelines, which go into effect as the final ruling on March 11th. So between these three areas, there's going to be something that said, I need this person to be an employee. They can't be a contractor anymore. So keeping in mind that we are talking about mitigating risk. So we'll, again, get into some of those explanations later. But if you're able to clearly and coherently pass along the reason that you want to move them over, that's a great way to start out the conversation. Now, keep in mind that you don't have to provide this massive benefits package. You don't have to provide really clear-cut KPIs for someone to be an employee. You don't have to do anything. You can just move them over, put them on payroll, make sure that you're being taxed appropriately, things like that. It can be that simple. And you just have to make sure that you're following the laws and guidelines and things like that when you do have an employee. So that's the big differentiator there between a contractor and an employee. So I think that when you're talking to your contractor saying like, hey, Jessica, I just want to let you know that I've been doing some research about, you know, some risks that are associated with having you classified as a contractor within the business. So based on my research, you and this new ruling that's coming up, you live in X state. And so basically we're going to default to the Department of Labor guidelines, which tells me that there are a few classification things there that are showing that you should actually be classified as an employee, not only for my benefit, for the risk of my business, but also for your benefit, because you're going to be allotted certain benefits, meaning the way that we pay payroll taxes, you're going to be paying into unemployment insurance. So you're going to have some security there, as well as, you know, a couple of other things that are going to benefit you in the long run internally within the company. So that risk has basically outweighed the current situation that we have that I really like. So again, going back to that second assumption that we want to keep things the same as possible, as close to the same as possible with the same talent within the same scope. So your day-to-day, Jessica, I don't intend on that changing. If anything, there's going to be a little bit more clarity about, you know,
our pay cycles and things like that. But generally speaking, I've figured out that the risk of keeping you as a contractor, even though that's your desire, is not going to match up with exactly what I need to be doing in order to best protect my company. There may be some pushback. There may not be some pushback. But at the end of the day, that takes me to point number three. You've provided the context. You've explained the risk and, you know, the penalties associated with misclassification. And you've explained that your desire is for things to stay the same. The scope isn't going to change that much, et cetera, et cetera. Just being really cognizant that sometimes some of our employees that are classified as contractors or choose to be classified as contractors or freelancers are probably coming from a place of, I don't want to work for someone else. I don't want to work within their confines and their timelines. So being able to be really clear and straightforward and saying like, hey, as well as, you know, these conditions that we're talking about, is that we're actually going to be able to protect our scope of work a little bit better and make sure that you have some securities and some rights along the way that are just naturally given to anybody with an employment classification in their states. So essentially, the third piece there is that explain that classification is a proposed change. So if Jessica says, you know, at this point, you, like we talked about earlier in the episode, you are still the client, you know, technically. If you've been acting as their leader or acting as their boss, if they're a freelancer, they're technically still a client, which means that you can't force a change on anyone. You can't force anything in any situation, really. You can't force them on a contract basis to do something. You can't force them on an employment basis to do something. There is definitely some gray area in regards to like how much you can quote unquote discipline or train or, you know, whatever on the note of if there's mistakes made and things like that in regards to repercussions and whatever. But at the end of the day, like it's really not that different to be able to kind of show up in a sense of like, technically, Jessica, you're my client because you're a freelancer, or I'm your client because you're a freelancer. And, you know, at this point, like this is just a proposed change. So you don't have to accept it. But I hope to make as few changes to our current situation as possible. So really what I'm going to be doing is issuing a job offer to you and basically trying to make it as minimally invasive as possible in regards to this change. And that's based on the assumptions that we made earlier. There may be situations, like I can't say this enough because this doesn't happen super often that nothing will change. But if that's really your intention to just make sure that classification changes and not much is changing in how you're treating them because you're already treating them that way, then great. But realistically, explain that the classification is a proposed change. You're going to be issuing them an offer. They can choose to accept it. And then you're going to want to really outline the specifics of the implications. So in this case, it almost always comes down to pay. So when it comes to employees, they're technically going to be considered non-expert in their position. They're going to require training. They're going to require some extra attention and effort. There's also going to be some benefits that come to the company. Now, we're not really talking about changing anybody's roles or changing the way that they're impacting the bottom line of your business in this particular case. But if you do have some changes that need to be made in order to make sure that Jessica still can work for you and that you can afford her, then you might actually need to make some changes in their pay. So what I would say is, listen, I need to move over your classification. It looks like it's going to cost me about 15 to 20% more to have you on as an employee. So basically, I'm just going to be putting together a legally comprehensive offer letter to send over to you. So right now, you're getting paid, I don't know, let's say $22 an hour. So what I would prefer to do is essentially to pay you $19 an hour because I'm going to have to pay a 15 to 20% upcharge. Now, the contractor might be like, well, why would I get a pay cut so that you can, you know, maintain compliance? And that's where we kind of get into the topic of like, not all contractors are going to be a great move to switch over to employees. But in this particular case, what's probably going to happen is because you want to ruffle as few feathers as possible, you're actually going to keep their pay the same, but just make sure and let them know that they're going to have to decide on how their taxes are going to be taken out of their paychecks on their own. So you're not really allowed to advise them on, you know, exemptions or withholdings or anything like that. But you can say, even though it's going to cost me 15 to 20% more to have you as an employee because I have to pay payroll taxes, we're paying into unemployment. That gives you extra security. You're paying into Social Security, which is something that you always want to make sure that you're on top of. If something is to happen and you were to, you know, have to take disability or, you know, take some time off for whatever reason, then you can tap into state resources because as an employee, you've been paying into those things, et cetera, depending on the state you're in and depending on what kind of benefits your employee or your company offers. So making sure that they're understanding that with that 15 to 20%, they need to make sure that their paychecks are adjusted for whatever type of tax exemptions they want to have. So realistically, at the end of the day, we are going to be paying for part of their taxes that they previously wouldn't have had to. So Jessica being paid $22 an hour would have probably saved about 30% of her income because she's getting paid straight across the board. For 1 hour, it's $22. For 2 hours, it's $44. There was no withholdings. There was no exemptions. So at the end of the year, and this is like in layman's terms, and some tax person's going to come at me about this, and I say, great, I'll have you on the podcast. But realistically, at the end of the year, our employees are going to have things that are withheld from their paychecks so that they don't have to pay this massive amount of money at the end of the year, whereas self-employed people have to kind of fund that on their own because they're business owners. So they're dealing with their own tax exemptions. They're deciding what's best for them and their business and their personal business and their, you know, maybe them and their partners or the way that they're paying for their own stuff or, you know, whatever the case may be. So realistically, and this is like straight across the board, most contractors are going to benefit significantly from having part of their taxes paid for by the company. So I'm just going to throw this number out there, but don't take it as fact. Essentially, if we're going to say that a contractor is going to get paid $22 an hour and Jessica is now getting taxes and stuff taken out of her paycheck, she can decide how many taxes she wants to withhold. So she could still have a paycheck that's pretty close to what she's taking home now, with the exception of, I don't know, sometimes it's like as little as $50 a paycheck that's paying into unemployment, paying into Social Security, FICA, stuff like that. So they can decide how much they're actually taking home. So if she wants the money up front because, you know, that's what her tax strategy is, great. But that's up to her. So she's still getting paid $22 an hour. It's just some of it's going to be set aside for taxes. And then at the end of the year, where she may have had to pay 30% of those taxes on her own, maybe 10% of that is actually going to be fronted by our companies. So basically paid for as part of payroll taxes. So at the end of the year, she's only paying 20% of taxes out the door. So I know that that sounds really complicated, but essentially it's more of a long-term situation where you can actually pass them off to YouTube, pass them off to a tax strategist to have them help, to help them understand. But if you're able to make sure that you're creating a competitive job offer. And if you want them to be able to take home the exact amount of money that they're making now after taxes and after everything else, then you can create a job offer that reflects that. So I would just suggest making sure that it comes out fair for you and your company and what the going rate is for their title and what the actual paycheck looks like at the end of the 2 weeks for your employee. Now, after all of this is said and done, it's really important that you understand that there are implications of having employees in different states. So although this was just kind of an introduction to how to have this conversation with your contractor, which we're going to debrief on in just a second, just keep in mind that that doesn't mean that all of your compliance is done just because they're added to payroll. As a matter of fact, payroll compliance and HR compliance are two very different things. So you could be completely compliant on payroll, and we actually love using payroll companies that are exceptional at compliance because they'll handle all of that for you. But HR compliance is a completely different story. So when you're adding them to your Gusto payroll system, et cetera, there are still going to be implications of things that you have to do based on where they live and also based on where you live. So keep in mind that this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning conversation that you need to have. And there's still going to be compliance regulations that you have to touch on over time. For example, we just did an audit of a handbook that was written by a very popular payroll company for one of our clients, and the result is 46 pages. So while we love them so much, we still do just want to make sure that you're keeping in mind that there are things that you have to do as you become a leader within your company that have more to do with compliance and leadership and less to do with just adding someone to payroll. So after that little baby disclaimer, I just want to take a step back and say, here's an example of a conversation that I would have with Jessica if we were put in this situation. Hey, Jessica, it seems that, you know, based on some conversations that I've had with some trusted advisors and reviewing a few of the regulations in the new final ruling in the Department of Labor, that it seems that I need to make sure and protect my company by classifying you as an employee. So you've already been, you know, kind of acting as such. So I don't see that there is a super huge difference in the work that you're putting out or the time that you're spending or really the relationship that we have. But I do want to move you over with as least dust kicked up as possible. To make sure that I'm protecting my company. There are a couple of things that I want to go over with you for that, but how are you feeling about that? Sometimes at this point, your contract's going to be like, okay, great. Like, let's work it out. I'm down. I can't wait to be on your team. Sometimes they're going to say, you know, they're going to go a different route and be like, no, thank you. I never want a boss again. I work for myself and that's on that. So that's that on that. So, you know, kind of depending on which direction it goes, you can let them know, like, I'm just going to go with the easy route. Okay. So here's the deal. Technically you're a contractor. So what I can do is make you a job offer. It's going to outline the pay that I can afford to pay you with the new taxes that I'm going to be fronting for you. So about 10% of your tax. Plus, you're going to have some built-in security like unemployment insurance. You know, you'll have some backing for disability, depending on the state. You know, I don't know. I can't say. Things like that. As well as if there's ever a situation when you're working a whole bunch of hours, then you're going to have some protections in regards to getting paid more for overtime and things of that nature. So I'm going to issue you this job offer. I made it as close as possible to what you're getting paid now, which is still based on what I can afford. Take a look at it and then let me know if you're ready to change that relationship. Now, after, you know, you kind of issue the job offer, which you can actually purchase one of our job offer templates on our settoscale.com template shop. We'll also link in the show notes. Then you can actually go ahead and let them know if any other changes are going to be needing to be made in the job. So in the offer letter, I've outlined that we're pretty much keeping things the same, but instead of you being, you know, maybe you're hired them as a social media manager, but you've kind of realized that they're more of a marketing assistant. You can let them know that, like, you're actually going to be paid a little bit more fairly for the role and the title of marketing assistant, which if you're not 100% sure how to do all of that, then just pop into one of our Set to Scale membership calls. We'll help you to outline the title, make sure it's comparative to other salaries in that same range, you know, stuff like that. So if there are any other specifics, you can actually lay it out in the job offer and then just give them a deadline, preferably March 11th. Hey, I just want to let you know, like, this is all going to come over to you. You can review it, check it out, but this will change our relationship. You know, from now on, I would be the employer. You would be the employee. I would really take it seriously to be your manager and your leader and even help you develop along the way. But I know we kind of already have that relationship, so I don't see a lot changing. But definitely think it over and let me know how you feel because I do want to make sure that we're mitigating that risk. That's Jessica, totally good to go. She's happy. She's excited to be on your team. I would say, like, most of our clients that are coming in with those two assumptions that they want to make as little of a kick up of dust as possible, as well as that they understand that they need to do this, that is probably how most of these conversations are going to go. But there is that secondary conversation where you have those contractors, those freelancers that maybe have some trauma. And the conversation isn't going to go as smoothly. So I sometimes hear from people like, oh, they're going to be a stick in the mud, or they're going to cause some issues, or they're going to have questions about everything or whatever. And they're kind of annoyed about it. And that is, you know, this is hard. This is hard for you as a business owner as it is. So it's going to be hard for them to understand because, but the reality of the situation is that classifying people correctly is not just a risk mitigation technique or tactic for your business, but it's also the right thing to do. So classifying workers correctly and making sure that they have those protections like unemployment insurance, et cetera, are going to actually put them in an even better position. So knowing, like, from your heart that you're coming from a place of, like, genuine care and authentic understanding about someone's situation, and then think about, like, why would they be pushing back in this? Why would they have a resistance to it? 9 times out of 10, it's going to be because they have some terrible experience. So approaching that conversation, if there's some pushback, with some compassion is going to go a long way. Like, don't be afraid to ask. Like, you know, you did the first two steps. You established that there's something in the laws, either the Federal Department of Labor or the state law or the IRS structure that has brought to your attention that you have to have this person moved over. If you're getting pushback from them, it's not annoying or anything like that. It's actually a sign that this person really cares about what they're doing, and approaching it with compassion is going to get you a lot further. So if you're able to even just say, like, I'm explaining the misclassification issues, I'm sorry, like, probably should have done this earlier, but now that your job has developed in this way, like, I want to make sure that I'm having as little risk as possible for my company while still keeping things going exactly as we have them planned. So if that person is like, okay, yeah, I get it, fine, whatever, like, I'll do it, I'd rather work for you than not. But I also think this is a really good opportunity to not have it be so black and white and, like, actually ask, like, what's like coming up for you in this moment? And I'm not a coach, but I know coaches say that a lot. But just like, I know I can tell you're like, don't like this. Like, why is that? Like, tell me, you know, like, do you feel comfortable like letting me know like why this isn't something that's super appealing to you? Like, you're going to be technically making a little more money because I'm going to be footing the bill for some of your taxes. You'll have a little bit more security in our relationship, and not much is going to change. So tell me a little bit about, you know, why that sucks or why you don't like it. And what you'll often find is they've had this terrible situation with a boss, and or they've had a really bad traumatic experience with somebody in a workplace before. Or maybe they've just really attached themselves to the idea of being a freelancer and they don't want to change, like, you know, their work schedule or their habits or anything like that. And so I think basically just digging in and saying, like, you know, I don't anticipate any of that changing, and I understand where you're coming from, and I really appreciate you sharing that with me because it helps me be a better leader to you. Because at the end of the day, like, if you're coming in as an employee of my team, like, I'm taking you under my wing and you're now my responsibility. So I do take that very seriously. While our relationship may not change so much within the way that we're working together, I'm not offering you health insurance or anything like that. I'm going to be paying some of your taxes, and, you know, it just looks like a different classification, but because that's what I need to do for my business. But like, this really helps me because I do still believe that I am your manager at this point. So like, it really helps me to know how to step in to be the best manager I can for you. So I really thank you for being so open about it, blah, 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 blah. And then being able to explain to them that this is a job offer, that at the moment, like literally at this moment, they are still a freelancer and you're still their client. So this is a proposed change. So making sure that you're kind of switching that over to an employee or a contractor that feels a little bit more resistant, and establishing that you are fully in the position of creating an offer. It's a proposal. It's not going to be something that is forced upon them. And taking away that feeling of being forced is really important because you want your people stepping into this as an opportunity for them. And being able to kind of like tweak the conversation, tweak the energy just a little bit to say, like, you're still in the driver's seat here, and I want to keep things as close to what they are as possible, but you can choose to accept it or not to accept it. And I just want to make it really, really clear that you're a very valuable part of my team. And like, I listened to this whole podcast that this lady was like, blah, 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 how should I talk to my team about it? Because I really want to make sure that I can retain you as talent on my team and have it be as little of a bump in the road as possible. Like, you can be open about that. So the big thing with that is just making sure that you're proposing this job offer. They can choose to accept it, and then outline the specifics of that offer again if there are any additional implications. So with this particular situation, there probably isn't going to be any. But one thing that I would say is that just make it really clear that the relationship that you're stepping into is a change because you're going to be their manager and their leader now, whether you were already acting as such before. But even though, like, that's not going to ruffle feathers, it's more of a responsibility for you. Like, you have to take this seriously. You have to make sure you understand the laws in their state. You have to make sure that you're seeking out support when you need it. And you're willing and able to do that because you are willing to pay some of their taxes because you really do want them on your team. And helping them to understand that is a really big deal. So I think that even when we have contractors that move over to employees, and we do have an episode about this, I want to say it's like early on, maybe episode 5 or 6, but I can link that in the show notes as well, is that moving contractors to employees is not always the easiest thing because it's a totally different mindset. So if you've established that you know that these are the right people to be on your team and you want to keep them on your team with as little disruption as possible, being able to really outline what that looks like for the people that are a little bit more sensitive or nervous or tenuous about taking this step is going to be key. So I know that that was a lot of information, but this can be a really touchy conversation. And I do encourage you to take the time to really draft a solid offer, make sure that it is reflective of what you can truly afford and is something that you both parties can be excited about when you're moving forward. I think that that's going to be a really great first step, as well as kind of taking that time to understand if there is resistance, because it's very possible that you bring someone into this environment and they absolutely refuse. So we're going to go into that in just a second. But what happens if somebody refuses to move over and they're still misclassified? So I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But essentially, when you're kind of putting this together, this is all information that you can use in order to show up in the best possible way as their leader. And it doesn't mean like shouting orders at them, bossing them around, nothing like that. Like a lot of what you're doing is probably going to be the same. But I do think it's really important. It could be a big mistake if you don't establish yourself as the authority in this relationship moving forward. But the way that you do that is clearly by explaining that although I've been acting like this in the past, you are still technically I'm still the client here. So this is going to change that relationship. So if you've already been acting that way, people probably aren't going to care. But if they need a little bit of push in one direction, just being able to say like, yeah, and I realize that I'm going to be your manager and leader as a part of this change, and I'm committed to that. So anything that you're telling me now is going to be really helpful for how I can show up for you in the future. So you just told me that one of the reasons that you're very afraid to move into employment is specifically because you've had a really mean boss in the past and they were one person one day and another person the next. Like, I'm not going to do that. And I want to let you know that I'm having an open door policy. So if that ever happens, then you can reach out and without any type of repercussion, we can talk through that situation. But you are the authority in the situation. Don't let it get to a point where you're like, kind of riding on the coattails of the contractor, because that's just not going to be healthy for you. It's not going to be healthy for your team culture, and it's not going to be healthy for, you know, this whole process. Because a lot of people are moving over, I want to say like up to 10, 20, 30 employees that maybe were misclassified previously. On the flip side of that, if you have a contractor that refuses to accept their new classification. So this is pretty difficult because I think that at this point in business, and especially in the fact that we've already established that in this particular situation, you want to disrupt things as little as possible, then I think that you're just going to have to ask that contractor, what will it take to keep things the same way so that I can move you over? Some of them are going to ask for 20% more money. Some of them are going to want to cut down their hours. Some of them are going to want it to be temporary until they find somebody else, you know, things like that. So one thing that you can do is if you're working with someone that is, and this isn't just like a buy, you know, legal advice or anything like that, but one thing you can do is say, okay, well, if you're refusing to do this, then unfortunately my goal of having as few things change as possible, is not going to work. So I really, really want you on my team. I really, really want you within our community. I want to try to keep things as similar as possible. But in order to make sure that I am maintaining compliance, then we have to take a look at our working relationship. So what I would like for you to do is to let me know what the scope of work is that you can provide for the rate that you can provide it. And basically just like lay all of that out in a new contract. And from there, you can basically accept a proposal from someone and keep them as a contractor if they provide the scope of work and, you know, it's all within the confines of the law. So making sure that the scope matches what you want, they're issuing their rates. They're probably not able to be client facing anymore. Most client facing positions need to be controlled by the company because of communication and training and things like that. So If they're client facing, they will no longer be able to be client facing. And then basically you can take that scope, run it across all of the IRS, the state that they're in, and the Department of Labor, and just cross-reference it to make sure that you're going to be able to follow those guidelines. So if it comes from the contractor and it wasn't like zhuzhed up by you and they're setting their rates and they're setting their scope, and maybe this is like a service that they provide, and it isn't in conflict with the Department of Labor regulations or anything like that, then you could possibly move in the direction of being a true blue client for that person. But because we got to this point knowing that that contractor needed to be reclassified, then there will have to be some change in the scope and how you're treating them. So the best way to do it is to have it come from them. And a couple of little things that you can do is to make sure that you're compliant in that way is make sure that any employees or contractors that you have are not client facing. They're not managing your team. They're not making hiring decisions within your company. They're not crucial to the day-to-day operations of the business. They are their own agency, or you know, they have subcontractors that work for them. They're an expert in their field, so they're specialized in a certain area. You're not issuing them a company email address. They're not necessarily utilizing your software and systems that you provide for them. You know, things of that nature are going to be something that's going to ping up the interest of the government in order to make sure that we're enforcing these laws. So I know that sounds a little bit vague, but the truth of the matter is that the assumption we made was that we know that this person needs to be moved over. So if we want to keep them on their team, just figure out the one or two things that you can't live without. And take a look at that scope and have them issue you a new contract with their proposed rates. On the flip side of it, you can issue them a job offer, really be super clear and straightforward about what's expected of them, move them over to an employee status, and they'll be paid directly as an employee with appropriate taxes and things of that nature. So I know it can be really kind of back and forth with some of these relationships. But once you start to adopt the classification mentality that, you know, a lot of us have been using for a really long time, but now is really being brought to the forefront of the Department of Labor, then it's going to be really obvious for you to see how you can classify your teams right up front. That's a little bit more direct and straightforward. And we'll dive into that a little bit more throughout this month. So I hope this was helpful. I know it was a little bit like kind of floofy and tangible, like conversations about things that aren't even based on reality. But I hope that it gave some really good examples of how you can maybe choose to approach this topic. We also dove a little bit into different scenarios if a contractor's open versus if they're not. We also talked a tad bit at the end about what would happen if somebody refuses this change in classification based on the assumptions we've already made and different options that you might have for them to propose a different type of service or scope to you along the way. My biggest, you know, kind of warning there is there is no, I mean, I'm of the guideline that there is no risk that's worth my company. But people are people and they are our biggest asset. So if we're able to kind of take it one step further and go bend over a little backwards for them based on what makes them feel comfortable in order to keep that kick-ass talent on our team, then it's definitely worth doing that. So that's kind of what this conversation was meant to outline. And then I'll see you guys back here next week while we talk a little bit more about what this ruling means and how to identify if, you know, what your risk level is. And then we'll just kind of go from there in regards to making sure that we can support you during some of these transitions. But that's it. So make sure that if you're not already, hit the follow button on the podcast app. It really helps us to reach more entrepreneurs and to get this compassionate kind of holistic leadership out there so that we can hopefully create better work environments for people. I know that this law has kind of made people sort of upset, but you know, it's been around for a while. So especially if you need guidance or support, highly recommend joining Set to Scale, our membership. It's literally like the coziest place on the internet. It's an absolute judgment-free zone for all CEOs and entrepreneurs that are building their teams. We touch everything from management to compliance to updated labor laws that happen in the States all the time, as well as just like sharing resources, networking, and having a really accomplished group of women that I'm so proud to know all in one place has been something that's been super awesome. So we used to have a man in there. You know who you are. But at the end of the day, we are truly here to support you and to create those good work environments. So if this is something that you feel like you can't handle on your own, which is, you know, not unusual, make sure you join us in Set to Scale. And if there's something that you need some specific support with, please check out our website and contact us there, or just send me a DM on Instagram. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review with a takeaway from this episode. And I will, if I see it, I will send you a coffee. So I appreciate you so much for listening to this, and hopefully I get to send you a coffee soon.